Good day, everybody. This is attorney Ryan McKean here on the Connecticut Injury Law Answers podcast. And today we're going to tackle the subject of client agreements. Client agreements, or as some firms call them, fee agreements, in Connecticut are required in every single personal injury case. They are required by statute, by Connecticut law, to be signed. Which is unique. Most other fee agreements in legal cases, they have to be in writing, but they don't have to be signed by the client. And in Connecticut, if it's a personal injury case, they must actually be signed by the client. So you have the right in Connecticut to receive a copy of your client agreement or fee agreement. I'm going to use the term client agreement here because that's what we call it. It's not just about a fee. It's about the attorney-client relationship, which is very important. You should never, ever feel pressured to sign a client agreement. You should always have any and all questions answered by the attorney that you are hiring to make sure that you are comfortable. You should have time to read it over. No one should ever pressure you. No one should ever come to your house and say, sign this, or come to your hospital. Really, it's an important document because it's a document that begins the relationship between you and a law firm. And the document itself should be clear. And again, I think a real warning sign here is pressure. And also another warning sign would be lack of access to an attorney to explain it. Because it shouldn't be done by, you know, an investigator or non-lawyer. I think it's that important of a document, and it's best practice that you have your questions answered by an attorney. Now, there are two kinds of fee agreements in personal injury cases, and one is called the statutory fee agreement. And this is actually set by Connecticut General Statute 52-251C, if you'd like to look it up. I've written about it on a Connecticut law blog. Again, this agreement, what it is a sliding scale of gross recovery. So a law firm would be entitled to 33% of gross recovery on all sums or verdict in excess of $300,000. So if it's $300,000 or less, then it would be a third to the attorney on the first $300,000. If it's between $300,000 and $600,000, it's a 25% fee on that money. So it would be a third of the first $300,000, and then 25% on amounts between $300,000 and $600,000dollars. And then it would be 20% on the next $900 to $1.2 million. The next $600 to $900 million, it would be 20%. Then it would be 15% of the next $300,000, and then 10% on amounts over $1.2 million. So that way, it's cumulative. Again, it's three. So if it, say you had a $1.5 million settlement, it's 300. It's 10% of the first 300, or I'm sorry, a third of the first 300. 25% of the next 300. 20% of the next 300. 15% of the next 300, and then 10% on the amounts between $1.2 and $1.5 million. In the statutory fee agreement, one of the differences between a statutory fee agreement and a non-statutory fee agreement is expenses. A client is responsible under the statutory fee agreement for all expenses advanced by the attorney, and that's win or lose. And expenses are in addition to legal fees. Generally speaking, the statutory fee agreement is something that is used in simpler cases, not necessarily cases of less magnitude. We've used them in wrongful death cases and catastrophic injury cases. But if there is significant legal and factual issues and significant experts that are needed, oftentimes, that would switch it over to a statutory waiver situation where a law firm is going to be putting tremendous amounts of time and resource into a case So always understand the important the difference between a statutory and a non-statutory agreement. The statutory waiver agreement entitles the law firm to a flat 33% on all money. So on that case where it's $1.5 million, hypothetically, the fee is going to be a flat $500,000. It's not going to be 10% on amounts over $1.2 million. I mean, the statute itself, it should only be used in, you know, certain cases. The law makes this clear that are substantially complex, unique or different from other wrongful death or personal injury or property claims as to warrant a deviation. They may involve complex factual or legal issues, serious permanent injury or death, and is likely to require extensive investigation, discovery proceedings, including multiple depositions, and requires a need for independent expert testimony. So this is sort of beyond your run-of-the-mill car accident rear-ender. This is something that is complicated. Medical malpractice, nursing home abuse, complicated trucking accidents, workplace injuries that are very complicated, or damages that are very complicated, such as paralysis or, you know, computation of damages of death. Those things are very very complicated cases and can warrant the use of a statutory waiver agreement. And, you know, about the statutory waiver agreement, this is very important. I mean, this has to be done right, or it's not valid. A lawyer seeking a statutory waiver agreement, they must explain the percentage of limitations. They must advise the claimant of their right to seek representation by another attorney willing to abide by the percentage, by the statutory percentage. They must allow the claimant significant time to review the proposed agreement. The agreement has to be in writing. It requires a special boldface font, caps, a separate statement, and it has to be signed and acknowledged by a notary public. We posted on a Connecticut Law blog what the language is, but it's far different. And if a lawyer fails to comply, there may not be a fee agreement in effect. So you need to make sure that is done right. And you should, again, it's not that it's unfair. It's just, you just need to understand the differences between these two agreements. It's a lot of people just think it's a straight third. It's not. In order to get a straight third on any amount, there has to be a waiver. And it makes a lot of sense, because the statutory waiver agreement will result in a larger fee to the lawyer or law firm, and that may be necessary for a firm to economically justify the cost and expense of litigation. Look, when law firms take on complex matters, it's years and years of work without being paid. It is lots of money that gets paid to experts throughout the course of the litigation. It may be travel expenses to depose experts. You should really review those client agreements. You know, I guess the takeaways here are: understand the differences between them, that make sure that your, you know, lawyer is complying with the law and not forcing you to sign anything. Any red flags would be that somebody is, you know, making you sign something. This is not, you know, high pressure car sales. It's the act of hiring a lawyer, and it should be done properly. So before you hire a personal injury lawyer, make sure you know the difference between statutory and non-statutory fee agreement, client agreement, and make sure that you understand your rights. I hope this helps. Thank you so much.